Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
This is live coverage of the 1959 24 Hours of Le Mans. We've reached the halfway point and so far witnessed Aston Martin number 5, driven by Carroll Shelby, making great gains in the last hour. If he keeps this pace up, he could have a chance at the...
Carroll Shelby.
What?
This is something you can't ignore anymore.
Oh, I take the pills. Pills work.
An elevated heart rate, say 130 BPM, sustained even for a short period, you run a critical risk of cardiac arrest.
Well, I'll race shorter format then.
That's not going to work.
No, I could race NASCAR, Formula One.
The valve is shot, Shelby. This is as serious as it gets. In my opinion, you're lucky to be sitting here today.
Huh. Well, I feel real lucky. Luckiest guy on earth.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. ...7,000 RPM. That's where you meet it. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
It's the only question that matters. Who are you? At the end of the day, who are you? Mechanic, race car driver, owner of a company? Your successes, the sum total of your accomplishments? Is that who you are? There aren't many movies that I watch multiple times, but Ford versus Ferrari, yeah, I've watched it several times. It's an exciting movie. In fact, it inspired me so much that I went out and got this Mustang. Okay, I just got it for the day, but what a cool day it's been to have this car. Shout out to Gene Duroc, longtime LaCroix member, and Ford Groves for letting us have it for the day. Ford versus Ferrari tells the true story of Ford Motor Company's venture into the high-stakes game of racing at Le Mans, the most legendary endurance race of them all. with all the racing and all the excitement, and there's a lot of exciting scenes in this movie, all of that is really metaphor. The racing and all of that's just a backdrop to ask this really important question. Who are you? What's your true identity? My identity, I have to say, sometimes is wrapped up in my job. For 32 years, I've been pastor at La Croix. Is that who I am? Really? Who are you? This movie follows three characters. We're going to look at them. Carroll Shelby, the legendary designer of race cars. Henry Ford II, the CEO, grandson of the great Henry Ford. And then Ken Miles, legendary race car driver. And we're going to follow each of them and see something and learn something about this thing called identity. Well, Henry Ford II is convinced by Lee Iacocca, who, remember, goes on later to lead Chrysler Corporation, to go over to Italy and to try to buy Ferrari, to jump into the race car business. Ferrari's having some economic trouble, so they think they can go buy him. But they discover that Ferrari has just used them to drive up the price, and Fiat comes in and makes the deal and buys the company. And let's just say Henry Ford II, who's not accustomed to losing, is not very happy.
He played us. Old man Enzo had no intention of selling to us. He used us to up his price, embarrass our company, to insult your leadership. It was a bad idea from the start.
What exactly did he say?
He said Ford makes ugly little cars and we make them in an ugly factory. He said our executives are sons of whores.
About me?
He called you fat, sir. Pig-headed.
Go on.
He said you're not Henry Ford. You're Henry Ford II.
I want the best engineers, the best drivers. I don't care what it costs. We're gonna build a race car.
You're not Henry Ford. You're Henry Ford II. Who are you? Now, if you've lived your life in the shadow of a parent, you know, that can get a little complicated, hard to sort things out. Even if you're president of one of the most powerful companies in all of the world. Ford had all of the money, all of the prestige, all kinds of power, and yet, to be honest, he was a little bit insecure. What about you? Who are you? Ford jumps into the high-stakes business of designing a race car to compete at Le Mans. Their first race is an epic failure. Carroll Shelby is called on the carpet.
Grace? Yes, sir. I will send him right in. Thank you. Mr. Shelby, Mr. Ford will see you now.
All right. This guy?
This way, Mr. Shelby.
Mr. Ford, Gentlemen.
Shelby. Give me one reason why I don't fire everyone associated with this abomination, starting with you.
Well, sir, I was thinking about that very question as I sat out there in your lovely waiting room. As I was sitting there, I watched that little red folder right there go through four pairs of hands. Before it got to you. Of course, that doesn't include the 22 or so other Ford employees who probably poked at it before it made its way up to the 19th floor. All due respect, sir, you can't win a race by committee. You need one man in charge. Now, the good news, as I see it, is that even with all the extra weight, we still managed to put old Mr. Ferrari exactly where we want him.
Did we?
Oh, yes.
Expand.
Well, sure, we haven't worked out how to corner yet. Or stay cool. Or stay on the ground. And a lot of stuff broke. In fact, the only thing that didn't break was the brakes. Hell, right now, we don't even know if our paint job will last a whole 24 hours. But our last lap, we clocked 218 miles an hour down the Mulsanne Strait. Now, in all his years of racing, old Enzo ain't never seen anything move that fast. And now he knows, without a doubt, we're faster than he is. Even with the wrong driver and all the committees. And that's what he's thinking about. He's sitting in Modena, Italy, right now. That man is scared to death that this year you actually might be smart enough to start trusting me. So, yeah, I'd say you got Ferrari exactly where you want him. You're welcome.
Come here. See that little building down there? In World War II, 3 out of 5 U.S. bombers rolled off that line. You think Roosevelt beat Hitler? Think again. This isn't the first time Ford Motors has gone to war in Europe. We know how to do more than push paper. And there is one man running this company. You report to him. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Carol. Go to war.
Go to war. It's what you do when you're trying to prove yourself, when you're trying to prove your self-worth, your sense of importance. Well, his racing car career was cut short by a heart ailment, so Carol Shelby modified his path to success by building a team. And he wants to compete at Le Mans. But to do so, he needs a driver. He needs a great driver. He needs his friend, Ken Miles.
Build a car to beat old
Miles isn't driver. Convinced they can work Beautiful. With the massive Ford. Bureaucracy Beautiful. That is Ford Motor Company. But he'll come around. Next, Carol Shelby has to convince Ford. Ever the salesman, he makes his dramatic pitch.
You mind if I take a shot at the landing? No, I mean it. I flew B-29s out of San Antonio in 44. I did.
Okay.
Carol, what are you doing?
Does he know how to fly?
Carol?
I had an instructor tell me. He said,
Don, I would say it's probably a good time to buckle up.
Do everybody a favor, stay on the ground. That's a true story.
This is the car you never expected from Detroit.
All right. Let's go.
Not staying camp.
Ah, it's a bloody pig in a poke, isn't it?
Poetic, come now.
Wait, are they crashing?
Lord.
Who's the pilot?
My guess, Peter. Someone we know.
Everything all right up there?
Oh, oh no. Hang on.
Tell you what, that's like riding a bike.
Talk about making an entrance. Good grief.
Well, my daddy was here today. He told me to sit on down and leave the yakking to the college boys, so like my cars, I'll make this fast. When I was 10 years old, Pop said to me, son, it's a truly lucky man who knows what he wants to do in this world, because that man will never work a day in his life. But there are a few, a precious few, and hell, I don't know if they're lucky or not, but there are a few people who find something they have to do. Something obsesses them. Something, if they can't do it, it's gonna drive them clean out of their mind. I'm that guy. And I know one other man feels exactly the same. His name is Mr. Henry Ford. And together, we're gonna build the fastest automobiles in the world. And we're gonna make history too, at Le Mans.
Let's go.
My name is Carroll Shelby. I build race cars.
I build race cars. What is it that you do? Is that who you are? Well, Carroll Shelby's plan has one big gaping hole. He can't win without a great driver, and he believes that Ken Miles needs to be that driver. One problem, Ford doesn't like him, at least the executives don't. He doesn't fit their image. He's a loose cannon, he's rough around the edges. They think he's gonna damage the brand, so they undercut Shelby again and again to keep his friend Ken Miles from being the driver of this car. And so he decides to go to the top. Shelby goes to Henry Ford II and decides he needs a little convincing, so he takes him for a little test drive in their new sports car.
You ready? The name on the middle of that steering wheel should tell you that I was born ready, Shelby. Hit it.
Attaboy.
Oh, it's got a little kick down there. Whoa.
About right now, the uninitiated have a tendency to soil themselves.
Mr. Ford. You okay? Mr. Ford. You all right?
I had no idea. I had no idea.
I wish my daddy, he were alive to see this, to feel this.
Now, this is not a machine just anybody can get in and easily control.
Absolutely not. I had no idea.
Now, you want to win Le Mans. You really want to take first place. Ken Miles is a man to do it.
Well, you have to love that scene. Ford says, I wish my daddy was alive that he could have seen this. Well, it's what you say when your identity is wrapped up in the opinion of others. Who are you? Well, after that little experience, Shelby is given his wish. Ken Miles will be his driver. Ken Miles will drive at Le Mans. So let's consider Ken for a little bit. Interesting figure. He's given his best years of auto racing to serving in World War II as a soldier, going from one kind of job to another, struggling financially. And he's the roughest character in the movie, but I have to say, he's the one guy who really gets it, who understands who he is, even though he has a lot of struggles, like when the bank foreclosed on his garage.
You don't have to give up racing to get a bloody day job, Ken.
I think I do. Now, I've had my fun. It's time to put food on the table and grow up. The garage didn't pay the bills. Now it's locked up. Racing doesn't pay them either. And I keep winning.
Yeah, because you're good.
But I can't play the game. I'm not what they call a people person.
You don't say.
But I'm 45 years old. Do you really think I'm going to change? I'm never going to get the good rides. I started too late.
Because you fought in the bloody war. If you stop, you'd be bloody insufferable.
Just quit going around the region. It's over. Let's look on the bright side. Now I can get fat and old, trim the roses, and eat pork pies.
The bank's foreclosure left Ken with a no-brainer decision. He'll quit tinkering with cars. He'll quit his racing car career because he knows who he is. First and foremost, he's a husband. He's a dad. He's a provider for his family. And yes, he's a great race car driver. But honestly, he didn't need the trophies. Well, Ken does make his way back into a career of racing, and he and Carroll Shelby design an amazing car, and they're racing in Le Mans, and it's the culmination of the movie, and it is a remarkable race. It's a fun race. I wish I could show more clips for you, but let's go towards the end as Ken and the Ferrari are going neck and neck. Remember, Ferrari has won the previous five Le Mans, and now they're going at it. Watch this scene. Well, Ken Miles wins Le Mans. In fact, Ford cars finish first, second, and third. Truth is, Ken didn't really need that. He had what he needed in his marriage to Molly, in his relationship with his son, Peter, and yes, in his friendship with Carroll Shelby. A few months after this, The pit crew and the whole racing team, including Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles and his son, head out west to test drive the newest version of the Ford racing car.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters.
Hit the van!
Who are you?
We're asked again, who are you? It isn't until the closing minutes of the movie that the question is answered by Ken Miles' son, Peter.
Oh, hello, Pete.
I remember that wrench. My dad threw it at you.
I believe you did.
Why?
Oh, I think I probably said something to him. Called him a few names.
That's right. Do you want to speak to my mom?
Well, I did. I came to say hello, check in on her, and... then I started thinking sometimes... the words just are not useful. Tools are useful because you can make stuff with them and you can fix stuff with them. Here.
Thanks.
Your daddy was,
he was your friend.
Yes, he was. Yes, sir. And he thought you was just finer than frog fur.
Pizza! I think I've got to go help my mom.
What are you doing here then? Come on.
Bye.
At the end of the day, at the end of his life, who was Ken Miles? He was a friend to Carroll Shelby. And Carroll Shelby was a friend of Ken's. And Ken was a father and a husband. At the end of the day, what really matters in this world are relationships. Not your accomplishments, not your fame, not the adventures you go on, not the money you earn or the trophies that you win. I've done a lot of funerals and no one has ever given me a trophy and said, hey, would you show this in the funeral today? What they do talk about are the ways that that person loved and the relationship that they had with them. The Bible tells us that there is an ultimate relationship, the most important relationship. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are, children of God. You know, everything in this world, the accomplishments, the fame, the trophies, all of the trophies can break, the money can go, the job can go, all of that stuff can be lost, but there's one thing that can never be taken from you. Jesus would go on to say to his disciples that he was with for 12 years, on the last night that he was with them, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends. Imagine being a friend with Jesus Christ. Imagine being a friend with the Lord of heaven and earth, and that's the offer that's available to you and to me. The most important relationship is this one. You see, you were created to know God. You were created to love God. And the reality is, we all sin and we walk out on that relationship. But God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be our Savior, yes, to be our friend. And you and I are invited into this relationship. In one of John's other writings, he says, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Like I said, nothing can take that away. When you're a child of God, you're royalty. You're a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That, my friends, is the ultimate identity. That's who you are. That's who I am. Maybe this is news to you, or maybe it was something that you knew at one time. I want to invite you to say yes to this identity. It's really just a prayer away. It's an opportunity to say, Jesus, I want to be your friend. I want you to be my Savior. I want my identity to be wrapped up in you. And if that's something you'd like, I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Would you pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came into the world to draw us back to yourself, to die for us, to rise again for us, and to call us friends. Lord, I pray for anyone watching this today, wherever they are, that their identity would be found in you, and that can never be taken from them. And so as you pray, I want you to maybe consider praying these words in your own heart. Lord Jesus, I want to be known by you. I want to be your friend. Come into my life. I give you control of my life. I want my identity to be found in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.